take this time in our service this morning to prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I just have a few words to just to share with you as we do that. This time of year, especially after Memorial Day, you have a lot of pools opening up, and there's a lot of searching for lifeguards right now because of all the safety that needs to be in place, in a public pool where people are swimming and need to have lifeguards there for people's safety in case there's an accident or, somebody is potentially drowning. They need somebody to go in there and rescue them. And so we understand the role of a lifeguard there is being on guard and be able to rescue somebody if somebody is in distress. And we have other professions that are there for us as well, if it's a time of distress and they're there to help rescue. I think of firefighters that are going to a fire in that kind of situation. Maybe somebody's in a house or a burning building, and a firefighter needs to go in and rescue that person to pull them out of danger, or police, or even you can name several professions that are there to help people, to protect them, but definitely to help rescue them or free them, or deliver them from danger, is when you think about that word, rescue. Well, if you read through the scriptures, we see a lot of instances and a lot of people and a lot of examples that were rescued from one thing or another. I'm not going to go over a lot of them. That could be a whole class right there about people in the scriptures that were in need of rescue or people that did the rescuing. But what I'd like to share with you today as we get our minds set to partake of the Lord's Supper is, what about Jesus? Did Jesus need rescued? A lot of people thought he did. Just think about the scene with Jesus on the cross. Do you think people thought he needed rescued? Some people sure thought he did. Some people thought he was crying out to be rescued. Matthew 27. You start in verse 39. He's up on the cross. Everybody's kind of, essentially all these things are taking place. Starting in verse 39, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Hey, rescue yourself. And in the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders mocked him. What'd they say? "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And even the robbers, they're on either side of him, were doing the insults and saying similar things. And a couple of verses later, at the ninth hour, when Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some that were there standing by heard this and said, "He's calling Elijah. He's calling out to somebody to come save him. Somebody to come rescue him." And even if you back up a chapter when Jesus was arrested, he tells the people that are there, "Don't you think I can't call my Father and he will once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But that's not what he was here to do. Jesus wasn't here to be rescued. He was here to do the rescuing. Right? He wasn't put on that cross. He wasn't lifted up on that cross so that he could be rescued. Even though in a lot of people's minds, because that's how we think, somebody help that guy. He's up there dying, up on that cross. Somebody help him. Somebody rescue him. Listen to him. It sounds like he's even calling to be rescued. That's not what he was here to do. That was not the plan. He was put on that cross, he was hung on that cross so that he could rescue. That he could rescue us. So that he could free us. So that he could deliver us. Think about that. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the eternal kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Why is it important that we remember Christ? Because he's asked us to remember him every first day of the week. But we remember him because he has rescued us. He gave everything for himself. Just like a firefighter that's going to go into a building to rescue somebody, put their own life on the line. I mean, we've read stories of firefighters that have died saving somebody else. Christ died to save us. Wow. Is that something worth remembering? All the time. Absolutely. And we remember these things every first day of the week as part of our worship. To remember what Christ did for us and the fact that he has rescued us. He has delivered us. He has freed us. Wow. I mean, that's something. I talk about songs that send chills down my spine. Give me goosebumps. That should too. Definitely. The sacrifice that was made for us, how important it was. And we can thank and praise God each and every day that we've been rescued. So as we partake of this bread and this cup that represents the body and the blood that was shed for us, just remember what was done for you and how you've been rescued by Jesus giving everything to do that.